We're spending Thanksgiving listening back to interviews with Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. June joined Johnny's Roadshow in 1962, co-wrote his 1963 hit Ring of Fire, married him in 1968, and toured with him until he stopped performing in the late 90s. But she got her start in show business long before she met him. She was born into what many consider the first family of country music. Her mother was Maybelle Carter of the original Carter family. After that group broke up, Maybelle Carter formed a new group with her daughters Helen, Anita, and June. Here's one of June's last recordings. It was made in 1999, 4 years before her death. The song was written by her uncle, A.P. Carter.
I was standing by my window on one cold and cloudy day when I saw that hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will a circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by, there's better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
In 1987, I asked June Carter Cash about the beginning of her career.
I was about 10 years old. About 10, I think. And I really didn't know if I was going to be able to perform or not. I had two sisters who could perform, and when you're standing there and you're used to just running and catching light bugs and June bugs and riding the motorcycle behind your daddy and being a tomboy, you don't know if you can sing or not.
Did you want to perform?
Oh, I hadn't even thought about it. I didn't think I could. But then Mother said, you know, you're going to sing, or at least I guess you are, and you're also going to learn to play that auto harp and that mandolin and that guitar and whatever. So within about a week's time, I learned to sing. I had to. But believe me, Terry, I was up and down that scale because I really didn't know where I was going to begin with.
It sounds like you didn't have a lot of confidence in your singing.
I really didn't, but I had a lot of guts. I really didn't mind trying anything, and I think that's one reason in the beginning that I used to do comedy in the beginning. I just did it because I didn't think I could sing as good as my sisters.
What were the best shows, your favorite shows to do?
Well, I've had a lot of different shows in my life. The Days with the Carter Family, that was a wonderful kind of thing. I can remember doing shows from the days in the old coal fields where there was no electricity at all, and they put the lamps on the front of the stage. I went from that to having our first public address system, doing the little concerts around in schoolhouses, and then in larger auditoriums when the Carter Family was around.
When you were young, were you aware of how important your mother was in country music?
I really had no idea. I honest to goodness thought everybody alive had a sweet little blue-eyed mother that picked the wildwood flower on the guitar. But Terry, the one thing that reminded me when my mother did pass away was the television cameras that came from all of the major networks, and then I began to know. And, of course, if there's the times that you ever read history books in country music, she had a strong influence on our music. And, of course, my Uncle A.P. Carter and the songs of the Carter Family. That's kind of a basis for our country music today.
It's interesting to me that you grew up into a life of country music and you were singing it and playing it when you were very young. But when you came of age, you left that life for a while to go to Manhattan. What made you want to try out a different life for a while, to try to get into movies, for instance, to move up north, to move to the city?
Well, you see, I had married the top country music entertainer, a man named Carl Smith. He was our number one country artist for 3 years during the time we were married. And we had a little girl, and my marriage had gone crazy, and I was heartbroken. And I just took off and brought Carlene, and I had what I thought was a tiny little apartment. I had 5 rooms, and I lived at 20 East 67th between Madison and 5th, and I thought, this is not big enough to cook any kind of a breakfast in. How am I going to get the gravy and the biscuits made here? It's not big enough. I thought I was cooking in a closet.
Did you experience culture shock in Manhattan?
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you, I'm a little mountain girl. I mean, even though I've been in radio and been lots of places, I've traveled, but I had myself quite a shock. I've been here before. My mother and sisters and I had performed 4 times on the Kate Smith Evening Hour when she had her first hour-long show. And we were performing live with Kate in front of about 5,000 people. But I was a very young girl at that time, and I didn't let too much in New York get on me. But when I came here to go to school, listen, I had to learn the hard way.
Why did you leave Manhattan?
Well, in country music, I was established. I could make a lot of money. I could make a whole lot more money in country music than I could in this area, but I was working the fair seasons. I was going out to California and doing some acting because I'd done things like Gunsmoke and some series that I'd worked in, and I was working some with Tennessee Ernie Ford on television. So I went back to Nashville and the Grand Ole Opry because of some long extended tours that I had that was paying me quite a bit of money. Then, to make a long story short, I ended up with Johnny Cash came into my life, and I ended up being Mrs. Johnny Cash, and I'll never regret that.
When you realized that you were both in love, were you ever afraid to marry him because of his chemical dependency?
Oh, of course, of course. I only decided 6 months before we were married. I made my mind up, okay, if you feel that you can stay straight, I will marry you. If that's what you really think that you can do. And he stayed straight for 6 months. I handed in my resignation to the Grand Ole Opry, and I thought, if you die, I will stand near you while you die. If you live, I will live with you, and I will be with you. I will help you whatever you do. But it was a total commitment that I made at that point. And he never let me down.
In your new book, you've written about women friends and women in your family who were abused by their husbands or who had to put up with drug and alcohol problems that their husbands had. How much power do you think a loving wife has to change her husband if he has a problem either with violence or with drugs or alcohol?
Well, you have much more power if you're a praying woman than you could believe. I prayed continually, and I lifted up all my problems to God. If you have a person who is a chemically dependent person in your family, child or husband, whatever the situation would be, if you pray hard believing that God can help you and you just lift that up, I am living proof that it can work.
You wrote the song Ring of Fire, which Johnny Cash recorded, had a big hit with it. Did you write that song with him in mind?
Yes, I did. You know, he didn't even know, but I think I'd come to grips with the fact that I was in love with this man. He was still at that time with his wife. I was still married at the time. I think that's what the song was about, because, I mean, I couldn't tell anybody. How could I tell anybody? Because it was like a ring of fire.
When you gave the song to Johnny Cash to record, did he know that it was about him?
I don't know. My sister recorded it first, Anita, and it was more like the Carter family might have done it, because we were primarily more folk music. And so then Anita and Helen and Mother and I sung it with John, and we put the trumpets on it, and it became a big, big song. It's been recorded over 100 times.
June Carter Cash, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
June Carter Cash, recorded in 1987. She died in 2003. Tomorrow, we'll hear more about Johnny Cash and his music.